Let's celebrate the Lord for this day. We love His Word, and we give Jesus thanks for His Word. And we welcome all of you that are joining us this morning. And I want to tell you, we hear it from saints over and over again that that they enjoy the broadcast or the media. And we're so thankful that you join in. We want to give you our best. We want to present the Lord to you. That's the most important thing. And is to see Jesus and hear Jesus. But we also hear from the saints that attend that it's a big difference between viewing online and being actively present. And I just want to say to you, there's a whole lot more that goes on a Sunday morning than what you're able to just see online. And so if you ever have the opportunity to come and be with us, and those of you that do have the opportunity, come be with us. And those of you that can, if you're in the area, come be with us. And this is a very loving group of people. And the presence of the Lord is so celebrated. And there's a lot of love in the house. You know, that's what we hear more from guests that come than anything else. They sense the real love of Jesus. And it's because the people here are loving on Jesus, and Jesus is loving on us. And love is in the air. All right? It's a good weekend to say that. Love is in the air. But I'm very, very thankful there. I want to celebrate. I give a shout-out to Mike McDougal this morning. And I just want to say I love you. And I love Mike because he's a seeker. I know that we use terminology sometime in church life like, I found the Lord. Well, I want to tell you what the real deal is. He's already found you. He's paid for you. And I know it's good to have a heart seeking after Him, because the Bible promises if you seek the Lord, you will find Him. But the Lord is the one that makes sure that that happens, because He's seeking you more than you're seeking Him. And He wants you to know Him. And a lot of times there's a season of time of seeking. And then usually there's a testimony that comes along in the journey where there's an encounter with Jesus. And there's a difference between seeking after Him and meeting Him and knowing Him. And I'm praying today especially for people, and thanking God for Mike, and praying for people that your heart's toward the Lord, but you don't really know exactly where you stand. I want to tell you, continue to lean on the Lord. Yes. Continue to put your heart toward the Lord. It's the Lord that will reveal Himself to you. And He loves to do that. I'm going to pray for you right now. And I'm going to believe that you will have an encounter with Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank You that You paid the price for all of us to know You. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that by the power of Your Word, by the power of Your Spirit, that every eye and every ear of the heart will be open to see You and hear You. Lord Jesus, thank You that You love to reveal Yourself to us. And we just pray in Jesus' name for a divine encounter, a supernatural encounter, for personal revelation that will see You and know You in a more clear way than ever before. And we just agree together, and we want to thank You ahead of time in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, I know that's a very simple prayer, but I love to pray that with people, because it's absolutely amazing about what comes back in a season of time, about how the Lord makes Himself very, very personal. And He's not hiding from you, He's hiding for you. And He wants you to know Him. Is that great? Let's give the Lord a thanks offering this morning. I'm just so thankful for the Lord. And the verse that I want to kick off with, and this is about divine protection. We may have just one more sermon left in this series. But next Sunday will be a very, very key sermon for the series. So it's of mucho importante that you tune in next week, and that you capture it. But today, the scripture that we're kicking off with, and we say divine protection for you in 22. In other words, it's for you, it's for now. It's not just for the super saints, is what I want to say. It's for everyone that comes to Christ. You are promised divine protection. Is that great news? And it's important for us to receive it. It's important for us to appropriate it. But we're going to get into that this morning, okay? Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard." In other words, it's a repeating emphasis. And I want to tell you, anytime Jesus or anytime the Word gives a repeating emphasis, we need to take special attention to. And so tend your ear, your heart to this. Guard your heart with vigilance. Okay, you can't be lax about it. This is an important part of life. Hey, the flow of life comes out of your heart. And so it's very, very important what you're taking in. Because what you're taking in is what comes out. All right, if you're taking in polluted waters, guess what's going to come out? If you're taking in the pure water of the Word, guess what's going to come out? Well, I want to tell you, it shows up in attitudes and actions, doesn't it? That you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. And so I want to tell you, it's very, very important. Now, we have a little lifeline picture, we call it. And it's just a little description of how this works in our life. And it's real simple. I'm just going to run through it real quick. I could preach on this, have preached on it. We'll preach on it in the future because it's just real simple but real clear. Whatever input that you're taking in is of vital importance. Whatever water you're taking, if you're taking in polluted water, whatever comes in is what's going to come out. And so Jesus made it real clear, it's not the outside of the cup that defiles a man, it's what goes in. Okay, it's what's on the inside of the cup. So what's on the inside of your heart? All right, whatever you're taking in, what are you exposing yourself to? See, that's of very, very importance because that's going to be the key ingredient to your heart, all right? And it determines what you think. Whatever input you put in is what you're going to think. That's the food that you're feeding your soul. And so that's what you're going to think. And whatever you think on is the way you're going to feel. And there's a lot of people that say, well, it's my emotions. I can't help my emotions. Yeah, you can. We can back up the truck a little bit. And when you back up the truck a little bit and you change what you think, you're going to change what you feel. And so if you're feeling all sad, then we need to back up the truck and let's think good thoughts, positive thoughts, Jesus thoughts, Word thoughts, what God's saying, what God's doing, okay? And let's meditate on those thoughts, and it's going to change the way you think. And when it changes the way you think, it'll change the way you feel. Does anybody see this? Well, your feelings determine your attitudes. An attitude is a long-term feeling, a long-term emotion. And so you can have an attitude all day long, it just stinks. Okay, well, guess what? You've had some stinking thinking. And so we need to back up the truck. Are you with me on this? See, this is not complicated. We can use this in children's church. But the way you feel is what kind of attitude, whatever kind of attitude you maintain is what kind of actions are going to come out of that. If you have a negative attitude, you're going to have some negative actions. Okay? See, this is not deep. If you continue along this journey, negative actions determine negative habits. Negative habits determine negative character. And so when somebody shows up and comes to my house for ministry and for counseling and they say, "I don't know how I got here." Well, it makes me smile. I say, "I do." And this is something we can change, amen? And I want to tell you, when you put a Jesus emphasis on this, then it makes a tremendous difference. I hope that you see this real clearly. This is why we tell people, get on the Jesus channel. There's a lot of ways to do that, but the Word of God is primary, amen? When you saturate yourself in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will show you Jesus. He reveals Jesus to you, and the Word of God is dynamite power. Listen to sermons that uplift Jesus. Don't listen to sermons that are gloom and doom. That's not going to do you any good. All right? It's not sermons about men. It's not sermons about destruction. It's sermons about Jesus. And so I want to tell you, when you listen to messages that uplift Jesus, it feeds your soul. praise and thanksgiving, godly fellowship. You know, I've got series on all these, so you can look back online. But see, this, we take the input of Jesus into our mind and we meditate on it. This is what we think on. This is what we feed. This is what kind of water we're taking in. He wants, Jesus, your shepherd, wants to lead you by still and peaceful waters. Waters of the Word of God. And so we meditate on what He says, what He does, reveals who He is. And boy, I've done a whole series on just that one word, meditate. And it's a missing link. It's so important in the Christian life. And then, and we're going to cover this some next week, we take and speak it. That's spiritual warfare. Okay, it's operating, it's walking in the Spirit to speak what God says and not what the world says. Not what your negative feelings may say, but what God says. And so we give allegiance to the Word of God and we speak to the mountain about what God says and what God is. Everybody wants to talk to God about their mountains or their giants. Well, we speak to the giants. We speak to the mountains. We speak to the mulberry bushes. We say what God is and what God says. That is authority released. Great power and great authority is released. This is walking in the Spirit. And remember, an easy way to do this, we bind the bad and loose the good. Someone prayed, called me early this morning for a prayer for a physical situation. Well, it's real easy to remember, I bind the bad and I'll loose the good. Pray the Word of God. We speak it. It's walking in the Spirit. The Bible says when we walk, when we're spiritually minded, we walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, guess what the fruit of that is? Peace and life. Peace and life. Anybody interested in peace and life? Hey, that's a whole lot better than worry and anxiety. Well, this is the result of getting on the Jesus channel. Hey, we renew our mind, and when we renew our mind, it's a transformed life. Do you see? This is the way that the Spirit of the Lord works. This is the way of God. And this is how that I can say to anybody, no matter where you are, where you've been, I want to tell you, that doesn't determine your future. How you practice the principles in the Word of God determine your future. Your allegiance to the Lord. And so it really goes back to whatever channel that you're on. So here's the suggestion right here, is that if you want to walk in God's protection, don't you want to walk in God's protection? Then I want to tell you, it's very, very important that you don't feed your heart on fear. Don't feed your heart fear. What's that going to produce? It's being pushed in all forms of media. And I want to tell you, it's just about on whatever channel that you put on the idiot box there at your house. It's on there and it's promoted. You know why? Because it makes money. I'm just telling you, it guarantees viewership. Ching, 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 ching. Okay? But Jesus was very, very clear. He said, do not let fear take over your hearts. Bible says He doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. Jesus said to His disciples on one of the hardest nights of their life, do not let your heart be troubled. He is saying to disciples today, in the midst of everything going on worldwide, He's saying to the disciples, do not let your heart be troubled. Would you listen to the Spirit of the Lord about this today? If you're overwhelmed with anxiety, let's examine what you're exposing yourself to. What is your mental diet? The Bible's clear, let's feast on Jesus. Well, Brother Tim, how do you practically do that? Well, you just do it. You just put your mind on Jesus. Whether it's songs and praise and thanksgiving, blessings journal, prayer journal. Hey, you read the Word of God. You say, well, I don't have time to read much. Well, it don't take much if you're really seeking the Lord. Because we're not reading for mileage, we're reading for message. Well, all I got time to read is Jesus wept. Well, weep with Jesus. Let's weep on what Jesus wept about. He had a heart for people. And so take Jesus weeps and you go weep with the compassion of Jesus and go affect the world for Christ. You see, that makes a difference. And it's just very, very important to take in. And we're to feast on the Lord Jesus. He's the buffet. In the 23rd Psalm, it's verse 5, says that He sets before us a table in the very presence of our enemies. And He is the feast. He's the holy bread. He's the living water. Hey, He's the Holy Spirit wine. that ministers life. He is the vine life. Somebody say amen. Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, somebody say El Elyon. El Elyon, that's right, shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody say El Shaddai. Well, I want to tell you, those are very, very powerful words. We're going to touch on those in just a little bit. But the first Hebrew word I want to touch on is the dwells. He who dwells. The Hebrew word for dwell means to sit down, remain, to settle. Now, the way we'd say it in Texas terms is, you know, you come into Camp Hallsville, take off your boots, put your feet up, stay a spell. That means it's important for me when you come to my house that you don't sit like you're in some kind of formal setting. I want you to relax, I want you to kick back, and I want you to enjoy yourself. That's what we're talking about. He who dwells, he who enjoys the Lord's presence, come before the presence of the Lord and enjoy him. That's one of the descriptive ways to say whether you're loving the Lord or not, is are you enjoying the Lord? How long has it been since you've enjoyed the Lord? Well, sit down, remain, settle, and hear the Holy Spirit whisper this to you. The first thing Jesus wants you to do to enjoy his protection is to rest. Now, isn't that something? You see, a lot of religious minds are going to say, give us a number of steps, give us things to do. What do we have to do to receive? Let's earn the protection. Let's deserve the protection. No, 1,000 times no. What the Bible is saying for you to do is the first thing you need to do is to rest. Sit down, take your boots off, get your heart before him, and let Jesus be your rest. You see, Jesus is your Sabbath. He is your rest. The way you spell Sabbath in the New Testament is J-E-S-U-S. It's our position of believing and trusting his protection. It's receiving his peace and his love. And I want to tell you, his peace and love and other blessings flow in our life when we're believing. When we're at the place of rest, this is where that your battles become his battles. Okay? I can't take you there. I can just point you there, but the Holy Spirit will lead you there. And he wants to do that. So let's practice dwelling. Let's practice resting in the Lord. Let's practice sitting down and camping out and staying the night is what it means. Come and stay a while and receive. Ephesians 2:6 says this, he's raised us up together with him and made us sit down together. Do you see that? Does that sound like dwelling to you? And sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere. In other words, we're seated with him while he's seated in heaven. This is what you mean by being in Christ and Christ in us. We're in him, he's in us. This heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so it's very important for you to understand that Jesus has paid the price and won victory for you to be seated with him in heavenly places, in heaven, on the throne. You're seated at the place of victory. The throne is the place of victory. It's a place of receiving. And this is where you are. Now, you know, we have a problem. Because we're more, we're guilt-oriented. And the Bible says that Jesus has set us free from guilt. He has set us free from condemnation. And so we have a tendency to look at our feet. Oh, see, this is not going to sound bad, but you'll remember this. It's going to sound bad, but you'll remember it. We have a tendency to look at our feet and not our seat. We need to focus on our seating and not what's on our feet. Okay, I was ministering in Amarillo, Texas, and I was at the stockyards. They took me by the stockyards, and it's been there for, I guess, over 100 years to the 1800s. And there's a little cafe there that's been there at the stockyards for a long, long time. And before you walk in this cafe, I mean, there's cowboys. I'm talking about real cowboys. Not like people we got here that wear hats and never rode a horse. I'm talking about real cowboys. And, you know, they've got a station by the door to clean the boots. Now, the boots aren't pretty. Okay? But see, the focus of the restaurant is that you have a station to clean the feet. But the focus of the cafe, because they serve real cowboys, is not what's on the feet, but what's in the seat. And I want to tell you, that's where our focus needs to be. Our focus needs to be that we are seated with Christ. We're too focused on what's gathered on our feet and thinking that what's on our feet may hinder us. No, your feet don't hinder your seat, because this is what Jesus has done. See, I'm going to hear about this later. I didn't know it will. Okay, but look at Hebrews 1:3. He's the sole expression. This is Jesus. He's the sole expression of the glory of God. He is the perfect imprint. I love this. The perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. This is why Jesus would say to the disciples, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. I and the Father are one. And then Jesus turns around. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but Jesus turns around and tells the disciples, I'm sending another one just like me. And so get this, that's the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is just like the Father. And the Holy Spirit is just like the Jesus, like the Father. You understand they're one? And I want to tell you, they're the same. They're one, and it's beautiful. But when you've seen the Father, you've seen Jesus. This is Jesus. He is propelling and guiding and holding together the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins. Did you see that it's accomplished? The cleansing of our sins is accomplished by Jesus. Boy, when you recognize that, you'll give a shout. Okay, it's not by your report card, it's by the cleansing of the Lord. And riddance of guilt. Do you see that? That's why that he says that guilt and condemnation is illegal. It's a lie and it's wrong. And it's sad to me that some in church life want to motivate the saints to do right by making them feel guilty. Well, I want to tell you, that's not grace. And that's not right. And when you present to people a list of rules and regulations, do you know what the law? The law was given to show forth sin. It was actually to magnify sin. To make you know that you have to have a Savior. And so, it's going the opposite way to try to get what God wants. But God has a way. And I want to tell you, this is beautiful because it says he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. And so get this, here's God on the throne, Jesus is on the throne right next to him, and there we are right beside Jesus. Is that beautiful? We're seated with Christ at God's right hand. Seated is a beautiful truth picture. It means you're no longer standing and working and trying to make it happen. When you're seated, you receive it. My, oh, that's good to me. About to preach myself happy on this part. I'm telling you, under the old covenant, the priest had to offer the morning sacrifice at 9 a.m. and then remain standing for 6 hours until the evening sacrifice at 3 p.m. Now, our Wednesday night class, I got to set in on our class on Wednesday night in our home group for just a few minutes. And they were talking about the sacrifices and the offerings out of Leviticus. And you know, you can get tied up in details. But the key to all the offerings, all the sacrifices, all the feast days, the key is to see Jesus. They're all a picture of Jesus. And you can get so tied up in the details, you can miss the main picture. But I want to tell you, the main picture is Jesus. And so look at Jesus. And for example, even about what I'm talking about, because Jesus became the final sacrifice, he fulfilled the duty of the priest. Because he went on the cross at 9 o'clock, he died at 3 p.m., came off the cross, and so he hung on the cross for 6 hours. He fulfilled both the morning and evening sacrifices with his supreme sacrifice. I love that, don't you? Hebrews 10, 11, and 12. Furthermore, every human priest stands at his altar of service, ministering daily, offering the same sacrifices over and over and over again, which never are able to strip from every side of us the sins that envelop us. Never able to take them away. But listen, this one Christ, after he offered a single sacrifice for our sins, that shall avail for all time. Say, well, Pastor Tim, what about my tomorrow? For all time. What about my yesterday? For all time. What about today? For all time. Is that great news? So for all time, he settled your sin issue, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because it is finished. He became the final sacrifice. The work of the priest is done, and he no longer has to stand. Our Lord cried, "It is finished." And as a result, we today are seated in Christ. Wow. John 19:30, when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Did it say that they took his spirit? Did it say that they killed him? No. He gave up his life. He gave up his spirit. He was explicit to the disciples, letting them know that he could just say the word and Father would send thousands of angels to defend them. But he chose you over himself. He chose to pay for your sin. Is that great news? Ephesians 2:6, again, let's see it together. He raised us up together with him. That means you and me, not just what we refer to as super saints or something like that. I'm talking about for everyone who's accepted Christ, we've been raised up together with him and made to sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ, because of our goody-goody-two-shoes, because our boots are cleaner than somebody else? No. It's because we're seated in him. By virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High, a place of peace. Listen to me. If you're having a disturbed life, Jesus paid for you to have a life of peace. Hey, of safety and security. If you've been watching the news and you're pumped your mind full of media and you're all disturbed in fear and anxiety, I want to tell you, Jesus says that he offers safety and security. Man, are we going to believe the Bible? Are we going to believe what man says? Are we going to believe the medical community? Are we going to believe the government? Are we going to believe what God says? Understand that the blood of the Lord Jesus has paid for every blessing of protection in Psalm 91 for you in 2022. May the Holy Spirit make this revelation ever clear to you. Because of the completed work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, we have free access. Everyone does. Even those who just accepted Christ a few moments ago. We have free access into the presence of the Most High. El Elyon. The Most High. You know what that means? The Supreme One. As a matter of fact, even the description of the name means to go up to or to travel up to, because he's the Supreme One. Now, no matter where you are, he the Supreme One. No matter how big your problem is, listen, he is the Supreme One. Doesn't it do your heart good? He's the Supreme. Everything else is less than the Supreme. And I want to tell you, it's beautiful. Elyon, we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the all-sufficient one. He's more than enough for whatever you need. He is more power and more provision than you could ever need. That's El Shaddai. That's why you've heard me say he's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. He's the all-provision of one, all-powerful one. These two Hebrew names of God in Psalm 91:1, they're going to make you shout and see your problems as small compared to the greatness of your God. And so this is what you put into your channel, is the greatness of your God. If you're focused on the bigness of a mountain or the bigness of a giant, you can miss. But if you focus on the bigness of your God, if you magnify the Lord, esteem the Lord, then I want to tell you, you're able to see that your problems are small compared to the greatness of your God. Isn't that what you want to see? That's what God has for you. I know we got challenges this week that can look like mountains, but because of Jesus' finished works, we can rest in the presence of El Elyon, the Supreme One, God Most High. Possessor of heaven and earth. That's who we're connected to. Genesis 14:19 says this, and he blessed him and said, blessed, favored with blessings, made blissful and joyful, be Abram by God Most High. Somebody say El Elyon. This is how he's describing them. God Most High, the possessor and maker of heaven and earth, is on your side. And if the Supreme One is on your side, who can be against you? We're abiding under the shadow of El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all-sufficient one. Wow. You see, you may call him giant. If you would have asked David, he would have said, okay, Goliath is a giant. But this is the way he would have described it. But he's a little giant compared to how big my God is. This is where we can be. And so don't you dare listen to some Dr. So-and-so say that, you know what, you're going to be this, you're going to get sick, you're going to be troubled, you're going to be disturbed, and you can't be cured for the rest of your life. Because I want to tell you, God Almighty, the all-sufficient one, is in your corner. And he's paid the price for your victory. And so that giant or that mountain can be a little giant compared to the greatness of your God. See, the question is, what are you esteeming? What are you magnifying? I tell pastors, because pastors wear this stuff just like you do. And they have to put on their pantalones just like you do. They don't jump up there and land on them. Well, I can tell you this one don't. Okay, but I'm you know, they have to, they're just like, and I want to tell you, sometimes they get drained. Okay, sometimes our focus gets off. And we get to focusing more on somebody else's problem or on our financial situation instead of focusing on God. And we get drained, you see, just like you do. And I want to tell you, whenever a pastor shares with me that they're kind of dull, or that they're kind of disturbed, or they're kind of, this is one of the terms that comes out. And maybe you understand this, that they just feel kind of stale. Ever get there? What I tell them to do, I say, hey, look, I got something for you. Go to Psalm 119 and begin to read Psalm 119 and just stay in it until you get a spark from God. Because I want to tell you, Psalm 119 is so powerful. There's 176 verses in there. And one psalm, 176 verses, but I want to tell you they're so exciting because every single verse, are you listening to me? Every single verse talks about the benefit of the Word of God. And I want to tell you, when you begin to fill your computer with that, the benefits of the Word of God, the benefits of the Word of God, the benefits of the Word of God, and you get through Psalm 1, you may not get all the way through, and then all of a sudden you feel a spark in your heart because the Word of God witnesses, your spirit witnesses to the Word of God. The Word of God witnesses to your spirit. And there's agreement that comes in your soul where you say, this is true and this is right. And when you begin to let that be your input, guess what? That affects the way you think. And when it affects the way you think, it affects your attitude. Come on, somebody. Then we have an attitude of gratitude. And I want to tell you how powerful that is. I want to just read to you a couple verses out of Psalm 119. Yes, we got plenty of time. Look at that. Listen to me now. This is Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth. The total of the full meaning of all your individual precepts and every one of your righteous decrees endures forever. Now let me tell you something. Your feeling, your emotion that doesn't line up with the Word of God, your emotion that's disturbing you, this tormenting thought that's coming in your mind will not endure forever. But His Word endures forever. He is truth. Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth. He is grace and truth. 161, princes pursue and persecute me without cause. That ever happened to you? You know, people say stuff. People do stuff and say stuff that just mean, you know, humans just be mean. And I want to tell you something, but listen to this. But my heart stands in awe of your words. Now I want to tell you, when His words have greater esteem in your heart and in your mind than what other people are saying, I want to tell you, you're in a protected place. I want to tell you, this is something for all of us, something all of us can do. Because we can esteem His words over other people's words. But it's not going to happen if you're not esteeming His words. Those other words become the primary. What channel are you on? 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. Now, how many times have you lost something and you thought maybe it was gone forever? And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like going in, well, I can't say that about Pastor Don's garage anymore. It's been organized. But I want to tell you a little secret of his past. He's going through cleaning out his garage, and he finds treasure in there. Come on! That he didn't even know he had. I want to tell you, every time he found treasure, we would see him walk in on his tiptoes. Guess what I found? I didn't even know I had it. Come on, Pastor Don, is there a witness in the house? Now, I want to tell you, that's happened to you. Hey, maybe Amazon shows up at your door and you forgot you even ordered it. Come on, how exciting is that? I want to tell you, this is the way your heart needs to be. Hey, don't look at me like I'm playing. This needs to be serious. I'm telling you, the Word of God is treasure. And you know what? You need to rejoice over His Word, the treasure that comes out of His Word, just like you would somebody giving you a great present. Is that true for you? Well, I'm telling you, if it's not, it can be. And it should be. And listen, this is normal Christianity here. This is walking under the protection of the El Shaddai, El Elyon. Look at this. I hate and abhor falsehood, but your word I do love. Now, I want to tell you, here's the secret. And this is spiritual truth. The more you love the Lord, the more you hate sin. We don't have to do no big campaign. Be against this, be against that. A lot of churches do. I'm not throwing stones at them. But I'm telling you, this is not the way. The way is to get people to fall in love with the Word of God and to fall in love with Jesus. And I want to tell you, the more you love Jesus, the more you hate sin. I love the testimony that we hear just about every year where somebody comes and says, hey, Papa T, I went to this movie or I was around these people and they began to talk real bad and they're saying stuff about Jesus, and it just made me sick on the inside, the way they were talking about Jesus. And then, Papa T, then I realized I used to talk that way and not think anything of it. You know what that is? That's this word right here. I want to tell you, I hate and abhor falsehood. I want to tell you because Jesus is truth, and the more you love truth, guess what? The more you hate lying. Every reference of lying in Proverbs speaks of it being of the devil. He's the father of lies. I want to tell you, a lie is from the devil. A lie is linked up with the devil. And I want to tell you, the more you love truth, the more you hate lying. Well, I'm just saying, this is the word. We don't have to teach you to hate lying. This is what love does. 164, seven times a day and all day long do I praise you because of your righteous decrees. And I want to tell you, I've shared with you before in the praise series, and I think we've done three of them. May do another one this year. But I want to tell you the praise series is that, you know what, I've set up design in my life to remind me to take praise breaks. And I'm not getting very specific, but whenever I go potty, it's a praise break. Whenever I fill up my water bottle, it's a praise break. Do you understand? And you know what? It's just become habit, and it's all right for it to be a good habit as long as it's not a routine that leaves him out. But when it prompts you to take a praise break to celebrate him, it's all good. And you know what? His word will prompt you to give praise. Now, don't let that be like a foreign thing, because Jesus said, I've given you my words, and my words will give you joy and peace. Is that what he said? Are you going to make me turn there? I'm telling you, Jesus said, my words bring you joy. And so where's your joy level? Well, where's your word level? And this is Bible. Don't you love the Word of God? Look at this, Psalm 165. This will be the last one because I got to get back to preaching. Okay. But it goes like this. Great peace have they who love your law. Look. Those who love the Word have great peace. I'm just telling you, people come to see me and they're disturbed. One of my first questions is, what's your input? Huh? What you taking in? Where's your word? Where's the word at in your life? And I want to tell you, it's very clear, and I don't even have to explain it to you. But I'm telling you this, those people that are loving the Lord and the Word of God, they have great peace in their life because it's Jesus manifesting on them. Jesus is the Word. And look at this now. There's such, you talking about divine protection? Listen at this right here, because I want to tell you, this will keep you, this is like a defense, immune defense system for offenses. Now, offenses come, but I want to tell you, they don't have to land like they used to. Hey, look at this. Those who love the Lord, love His Word, they have great peace. And look at this. And nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. It doesn't say that they don't come. They do come. Offenses come, but they don't offend. I want to tell you something. Listen to me about God's divine protection. When you're enjoying the Word of God and you're enjoying the Lord, I want to tell you, offenses still come. People still say stuff. Stuff still comes, but there's not a place for them to land. Don't you love that? Why is that? Because you're esteeming and magnifying the Lord, and you value Him and His Word over their words and their actions. Somebody say amen. Amen. I love the Word. Somebody say, I love the Word. I love the Word. Well, His Word will cause your perspective of God to magnify. Remember, I've explained this to you. The magnifying glass doesn't change the size. It changes your perspective. And so I want to tell you, that's what praise and thanksgiving, that's what the Word of God does. It magnifies your perspective of God. His presence is present. His presence is present. Available for you. Hey, financial situation, He's there. He's the El Shaddai. Hey, sleep troubles, He's El Elyon. He's the supreme one. He's bigger than your sleep troubles. He's bigger than your disturbance. You got tormenting mind games that are happening. I want to tell you, the supreme one is greater than that attack. And you can camp out under the shade, the shadow of the Lord. Let's seek Him with our hearts and get to know Him, how much God loves us. He desires to protect your entire life, not just one particular area. When you see God's love, how much He cares about every area of your life, this is what it causes you to do, to run to Him. Not to run from Him, but to run to Him. You'll love Him back. That's the actual response of love, is that you love Him back. This is why we tell people, let's get to know how much He loves us. You'll love Him back. You'll honor Him. Your value of Him increases. And as a byproduct, this is a byproduct, not something you have to grunt to make happen. This is fruit that comes out of the branch because you're connected to the vine. You'll find your heart pursuing Him and enjoying His rest instead of being filled with worry and fear. When you begin to behold Him and adore Him and value Him, transformation happens from the inside out. And so I'm telling you, let's honor Him by enjoying His presence in the secret place of His care and His protection. Now, I have a Bible here that's 55 years old. Okay? It doesn't have any of the Bible study helps that a lot of your Bibles do. It's just King James, and it's just the Bible. 55 years old. You probably don't think much of this Bible. But I want to tell you, this is the truth about you, the Lord. Your appreciation for the Lord changes when you understand His true value. This is why that we're saying to you, get to know Him. You see, this 55-year-old Bible that's just, and nothing wrong with King James. I love King James, but I don't use this Bible. But this Bible has great value to me because my mom and dad gave this Bible to Granddaddy when I was just 9 years old. They gave him a new Bible. And I'll never forget, as a 9-year old, how excited he was about a new Bible. It spoke to me. He would hug it, he would smell it. He would keep it close. He slept with it. He read from this Bible to me at night because I slept with him. I slept with Granddaddy. After he'd get through praying, he'd read this Bible to me before I went to sleep. I got to go with him as a little fellow when he was preaching in these country churches. And I'd sit down there on the front row with that little quart jar of water. Man, that got me by some long Jesus meetings. But I watched him take this Bible and preach the Word of God from this Bible. And so I'm telling you, see, this 55-year-old Bible may not mean anything to you, but I value this. Because I saw my granddaddy preach the Word of God. Do you understand? There's a lot of people that don't value Jesus. And it's because they don't have yet got to know him as he truly is. Let's value the preciousness of who he is and what it means to be in Christ. He's our identity. And being in the secret place of continual closeness to him is what he paid for. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but we get it. God's loving presence is constantly with us. You know what? He's watching over us, he's protecting us. And so I'm telling you, keep your focus on Jesus and his word. Hear preaching that exalts him. Study him. Discover who you are and what you love about him, because it will cause you to love him even more. This is your journey. Your destination is your journey. Knowing him deeper is your destination. Saturate your heart with God's promises and encourage yourself in him with the praise reports of the other saints and the loving kindness of the Lord to his people. Let him love on you. Hey, take time to dwell, to camp out with him, to enjoy his presence. And you'll begin to recognize him. You'll begin to receive and respond to the secret place more and more and more and more, because you see the value of the benefits. There are many benefits of his presence. That's what the Bible says. Your value of him increases the more you practice resting in him. You know what's going to happen? It'll just dawn on you. The next thing you know what? Your trust in his tender care, his protection and preservation is increasing. Instead of you focusing on what all bad could happen to your family or to you or to your job or to your health, instead of you're seeing your future in a little old folks home somewhere where nobody loves you or comes to see you, instead of seeing that, you see how loved you are. And that he's promised to give you a fulfilling life your whole life. A fulfilling life. That he will show you his salvation your whole life. That's good news. The benefits of love, hope, and faith far outweigh worry and fear. Somebody say amen. See, you'll give praise reports with others, to others, of how he delivered you and how he protected you from the attacks of the enemy. Why? Because you're seeing him. You're recognizing him. You're seeing him. The secret place. And I got to wrap up, so stay with me on this part. The secret place talks about two emphases. A place in Christ, that's your position. Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, for you to enjoy his presence. You're in the secret place because of Jesus, not because of you. But then the second emphasis is intimacy with Christ. It's our practice. Our position is already there. We just need to practice our position. Your place in Christ is where you stand. All right? Your practice is your status. And so we need to let the truth be on our standing and not our status. To be under the shadow is our birthright. To be under the shadow is something we choose. We can be close because of what he's done. What we've done doesn't keep us from being in his shadow. Don't you love that? I love to do a little fishing in the spring. And one of the things I've learned is that, you know, and I don't fish during the hot time of year. I got too much insulation for that, I'm telling you. It gets hot too quick. But I want to tell you, even when it starts getting pretty warm, sun starts beating down, You know, I've learned to look for the shadows, because that shade coming off the tree that's still over the water, I want to tell you, that's where the bass hang out. I want to tell you something. They get up under the cover of the shadow because they're like freshwater shark, and they hide and waiting for something to come by, and they come out of the shadow to attack. And so I've learned that when I'm fishing and the sun gets up kind of high, to start fishing the shadows, the shades, casting up in the shade and bringing it out. And I get hit. I get attacked, see, because that's where the action is. Well, I want to tell you, that's where the action is with the Lord, is under the shadow of his wing. That's where the action is. You see, you can know that I'm blessed and I'm protected. You can know that this is a lake and it's got bass in it. But I want to tell you, we can practice being in the shadow, because that's where the action is. And I want to tell you, he invites us to do that. Man, in the shadow, there's a difference in temperature. It's refreshing. It's even cooler to the fish. And I want to tell you, their eyes are 20 times more sensitive to light than ours are. And so they hang out in the shadows. I want to tell you, we're supposed to hang out in the shadow of his presence, because that's where the action is. It's refreshing there. Speaks of closeness. And when I talk about that's where the action is, he loves that interaction with you. Intimacy and protection, refreshing, coolness and rest. Man, I'm speaking to Texans here this morning. And I want to tell you, we know that in the summertime, we value shadow and shade. We don't have to coach people on it. They just gather there. And I want to tell you, that's the way it's supposed to be with us. All right, our shadow of the Lord means spiritual intimacy with Jesus. And so let me remind you that this prayer of protection, and I'm finished with this, the prayer of protection is not some kind of repeating incantation to get you out of trouble. It's valuing your position in Christ. And it's practicing enjoying your close relationship with him. I'm telling you, heaven's saying to you, Jesus is calling out to you to come to the secret place. He's waiting and he's wanting you. I'm praying for you right now. Father, thank you so much that you've won the promise for us that we get to enjoy the closeness of your presence. And so, Lord, I take authority over every lie and every thought and every word that would condemn believers today, that they don't deserve or they haven't earned to come into the closeness of your presence. I renounce those lies in the name of Jesus. I take away their authority in Jesus' name. And I release breakthrough in Jesus' name, that great grace is drawing every single one to enjoy your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the price for all riddance of guilt, and that we're free to come receive of your love. And I just bless each one right now with an awareness, a consciousness of your love and your presence. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Hallelujah and amen. Let's give the Lord a thanks offering. Well, how...